We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. So in California, over the sanctuary immigration laws, which we've all kind of been puzzled by this situation in California. And of course, the Oakland mayor, Libby Schaaf, came out and she said she tipped everybody in the community off to go run and hide that the ICE agents were coming, which Sessions had something to say about that too today. But he was outspoken, the attorney general today, as well as the California had their own press conference, Jim, and they came back and had a few things to say as well back to the Trump administration. Did this surprise you at all, this lawsuit that Sessions filed against California? Were you surprised, taken back?
Absolutely, because he has done so little in terms of a broad initiative like this in a stand-up act that really has multiple, you know, implications all across the country where they're doing this sanctuary cities, sanctuary counties and states thing. It's just amazing that he actually did something here. And I think what set it off is this ICE raid in the Oakland area where Libby Schaaf, the mayor, basically gave away the locations and when and the timing the raid was going to happen. And ICE picked up, they actually picked up 150 some odd criminals.
Out of what, like 800 or something they were going after
out of,
or something?
Out of over 1,000.
Over 1,000, what, yeah.
There were 850 odd got away clean. They knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And the thing that is amazing is nobody really got hurt here, because I can see if it's really a more desperate criminal situation type thing,
right,
of ICE getting caught up in gunfire and a crossfire.
Exactly. Well, that's what Sessions had to say, actually.
Yeah.
Jim, he came out and he said, so here's my message to Mayor Schaaf. He says, how dare you? How dare you needlessly endanger the lives of our law enforcement officers to promote a radical open borders agenda? Now, back to this, what really gets me is how, what I was wondering, and really very precarious, I thought the situation was out mm-hmm. there. I was curious as to how California would respond to this. Like when you hear the words, promote a radical open borders agenda, to me that sums it up, Jim. That sums it all up. Because, you know, you can sanctuary this, sanctuary that, sanctuary whatever, but it really is a radical agenda. I mean, it's like open borders and just crime and illegal program on the high seas, and they just, you know, they just don't make any bones about it. California doesn't.
No,
they just put it out there.
They just welcome them in and give them all kinds of benefits. I mean, come get your driver's license. They actually had the state set up like 30 some additional branches of the Department of Motor Vehicles just to register illegals for about 18 months, and they gave about 1.5 million driver's license out. And I don't know if you're familiar with their process, but they call it motor voter.
Right.
You get your driver's license and you're registered to vote.
Well, that was very controversial as well. I mean, but again, everything they're doing out there is, I don't really, it's hard to grasp how they find this bills any quality of life out there. It's hard for any reasonable person to grasp their policies and understand what they're doing. Well, let me tell everybody what California Governor Jerry Brown came out and said.
Yeah.
So he came out and he blasted President Trump and the Sessions. And he says he thinks Sessions is just trying to please his boss. The president has, of course, been publicly
pretty critical of the Attorney General, as you and I, have talked about that in other productions, Jim, you know. He's been pretty critical. So he came out, the governor, and says this. Listen to this. And I quote, these are his words. The California Governor Jerry Brown says, look, we know the Trump administration is full of liars. Wow. This is the governor now of California. Wow. The release records are public, and there's nothing that stops any sheriff who runs the jails to working with ICE. So this was his response back. Pretty loaded statement. I'm sure the president will respond in full favor, I'm sure, on Twitter later. We'll see what happens with that. But anyway, so this is going to be a showdown now in the courts. And it's hard to see how California comes out on top on this one. We'll talk more about this a little bit after in the show, Jim. But I really have a hard time understanding how they come out on top on this one. It seems to me like the administration is in the right on this one. I mean, like it or leave it, it's just look at the facts here and look at federal law. But anyways, another big story here. We're tracking this afternoon here, of course, as you know, yesterday. Wow, this is up your alley, buddy. You're the economic guy. So the advisor, economic advisor Gary Cohn says he resigned.
Hasta la vista, baby.
He's gone. He was out for the Mexican parade. Yeah, he's gone. So the this is the, you know, everybody knows he's a former Goldman Sachs president and, you know, guy that supports free trade and very, very supportive. He was very... very upset, evidently. I guess the inside story is, I mean, listen, they're doing this as friends. Evidently, there's even talk that he may come back at some point. And they're all sort of, you know, he's still there for a few more weeks until they get someone to replace him. So there are no words being exchanged here at this point, at least. It seems to be on the up and up. But the word is that Gary Cohn was not happy with these tariffs and felt these that was extreme and these trade wars that are potential and the tariff thing was not acceptable. What do you think of this?
Well, you know, there's two ways to look at the tariffs. I think that Trump is using it. One is leverage in the NAFTA negotiations. If you look at who the number one importer of steel to the United States is, it's our buddies to the north, the Canadians. They had 41% of the imported steel came from Canada. I think China was 20-21%, something like that. Right. So it's not really an international blanket on every country in the world. Like 99% of the steel we imported came from five countries. And these, if you tariff these five countries 25%, fine, as far as I'm concerned, because you look at what it is for steel going into their countries, and it's 25% and higher. So, you know, Trump campaigned on a policy of fair trade, equal trade, not taken advantage of, and this is what he's doing. And I think some of these guys that are going out there and saying the sky's falling because we'll have a tariff on steel or just that, they're just fanning the flames, panicking. They did an analysis that said that the amount of a 25% steel tariff, assuming all the steel and all the components of that car were made in the United States, would add $40 to the cost of $30,000.
That might break you, Jim. That might break you, that $40. God, bucks. You never know.
They charge you more for the cigarette lighter.
Well, everything is extra. If you want tires on the car, it's extra. You want a battery, you pay extra for all that stuff. Well, listen, there was a follow-up just a bit ago here this afternoon. This was some new information on this story. The White House, it was said that they see tariff carve-outs. And they're seeing carve-outs, Jim, for Canada and Mexico. But which I guess because there was no talk about that before then, there was no mention of that, although there was, you know, some light speculation. Obviously, Canada is finds this tariff thing very offensive, to say the least, because of the trade. I mean, it's upside down backwards here. I mean, but they kind of have their cake and eat it, too. I mean, but none of it's fair. But the one that wasn't mentioned in here is South Korea. There were no mention of carve outs for South Korea. Now, that's an unfair trade relationship we have. In fact, many people call that relationship a hostile trade relationship with South Korea. Would you agree with that? Or?
Well, it's hostile in the sense of two things. One, South Korea has come in and bought a lot of American businesses and bought them out. Right. They bought out the GE small appliance business some years ago. They've taken over the washing machine business. I mean, Samsung makes almost the world supply of washing machines when it used to be Whirlpool. I mean,
Right.
if you get a Whirlpool washer or Sears or just about anybody's washer out there, it's coming out of Samsung's factories. And if it's not coming out of Samsung's, it's coming out of LG's. I mean, between the two of those companies, they've taken
Isn't
over
that funny how that works,
huge
Jim? A lot of
chunks.
people don't realize that. They put different brand names on it, but there's one company making all this stuff, you know?
Yeah,
It's amazing. It really is. It's like it's the same thing, Jim, when you buy these generic brands. They always say, well, don't buy generic, but the generic brands are made by the same cats who are charging you twice as much, you know?
absolutely. I mean, and then that's obvious. You go and you look
Yeah.
at the big pharmaceutical companies,
Exactly.
and you look at who have they have contracts with. From my own experience, I worked with one of the majors years ago, and they supplied all of Walmart's house brand, labeled over-the-counter
Exactly, exactly,
pharmaceuticals and vitamins.
exactly.
And everybody says, well, are they inferior? And I'd laugh and I said, they're made of the same
See,
production
that's a
line, the
question
same
we've all
factory.
asked. I've asked that before to the pharmacist. I've asked it a couple of times. Are you sure these are not? You know, but it's the same thing with not just pharmaceuticals. It's the same thing with cereals. It's the same thing with
Oh.
sodas. It's the same thing with all of it. Listen, my pocketbook likes the generic brand. It likes the lower price better, Jim. So I'm
Oh,
okay
yeah.
with that, and it does the same work. Listen, we'll come back again with this. Also here trending this afternoon is the scumbag Parkland, Florida shooter, which we'll leave nameless here, was indicted
Yes.
on 17 counts of premeditated murder and 17 counts of attempted murder. Like, that's a big surprise. Nothing that a bullet in the head won't cure, Jim. But also, just today here, did you see this? Betty DeVos was the acting Secretary of Education, had a press conference at Stoneman Douglas High, and it was cut short. Did you see this one? After the
Yes, they were
students. Yeah.
just about shouted. Well, she was shouted down, and just
Yeah.
about, if they had stones, they would have stoned
I
her.
don't think they like her. I think, but
Oh
again,
my
that's a
God.
very liberal environment down there. And obviously, the kids must be talking to their parents or something, because I don't think they would have known what to say or do to her otherwise here. Also, Linda Sarsour was arrested outside of Paul Ryan's office, and that ought to have been a real event here. She looks like she's just a camera gal looking for camera and attention, but she was making all kinds of ruckus up there in Washington, and they actually had her arrested. That's caught my eyes. And a couple of other stories here we'll talk about ahead here as well. We're not going to escape the fact that the porn star Stormy Davis is suing President Trump. And that becomes a very salacious story. There's not enough exciting happening in Washington. There's a we've always got this to fall back on. And an interesting comment, by the way. And you know what's funny, Jim? Following that story about the porn star, there's a very interesting comment I'm going to share with everybody that a Kennedy member family came out and said some very interesting things about Donald Trump. Said he could be the greatest president in history.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll tell you
Wow.
more about that as well. But listen, Jim, take 15 seconds and tell folks who you
Okay.
are, please.
Well, I'm a semi-retired industrialist who's had experience in high techs, everything from satellite communications to computers, and then in a kind of a second career in biotechnology and pharmaceuticals. That's what I've done industrial-wise, and now I'm a political commentator. I'm a co-producer of The Viewpoint, the Sunday show, and occasionally I drop in here on Nozzle
That's it. That's it.
for a good evening
That's
chat.
it. It's good to have you. It's good to have Jim McKay here. More Nozzle in just a minute, friends. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And it's beautiful the way Sessions is approaching it, because he's basing his arguments on the 2012, 2010, is it 2010? 2010 arguments that were made by Obama. why Arizona couldn't interfere with immigration, because it was federal purview.
Oh, so he's using the tit for tat, you're saying. Okay, so he's going back to the Obama talking points.
He's using the exact case that went to the Supreme Court.
That Southern Alabama gentleman may have a few, have a few tricks up his sleeves yet, buddy.
Yeah, and they actually, California actually passed three bills, actually legislation that prohibits the local affiliate, from local law enforcement from sharing information with ICE. So when they say, oh, we'll give you the release dates, that's not giving them to in advance. That's giving them to you after the people have left and they publish them.
Right.
That's what happened with the Kate Steinle case. And that guy should have never been let out to begin with.
No.
And then
five times, I think he was back and forth, I recall.
And then another one that actually prevents private employers from assisting or having any communications with ICE. So they can't even talk to them about it. If they have people that were, or they found out, or had come in and they didn't pass E-Verify, they couldn't hire them. And how can you now you're interfering in private business.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So
and then
it's pretty clear that California doesn't want this to work, Jim. It's pretty clear they don't want to work with the feds. They want to run the. In fact, part of this thing here, the Department of Justice lawsuit, by the way, and I glanced at that, argues that federal laws trump state ones. Well, that's always been the case, man.
Yes, always the case.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how the Supreme Court found on the Arizona situation,
right.
Where if you remember,
the feds won.
What was her name? The governor down there. She wanted to go after illegals crossing the border more aggressively because the Obama administration wasn't doing anything. And they said, no, that's federal purview. You cannot do that. You cannot interfere in a federal jurisdiction in something that's left for the feds. You have to turn your head the other way and let them walk away, basically.
Right.
It's what they did. And they said that it was a violation of federal law for the state to get involved in immigration. Now, California is doing the same thing, but just flipping it over in reverse. They're saying, oh, we can interfere and we can make these laws that supersede federal law, and we can protect these people and not interfere and not cooperate with federal law. And very clearly, the federal statutes require federal statutes that are on the book require the communication with them, and even to depart the head of Kirstjen Nielsen. She's the head of
Homeland Security
came out and said that this is violation of law.
Yeah,
and
well,
the
definitely.
Statutes that they operate under.
And by the way, that Arizona governor was Jan Brewer. And I remember that airport scene, that photograph where Jan Brewer got into the face of Obama. That was the picture heard around the world,
That was beautiful.
If picture had beautiful. Words. Well, she's a tough gal, Jan Brewer was. I mean, she wasn't putting up with his crap, So let's break it down here a little more now on this California. So what do they really gain by this? Jim, how does California win with all of this? I mean, where does it go and why? The talking points of this clearly are, okay, they want illegals here because they want votes or this kind of thing. But why do they want this disruption? I mean, who gains with this?
Well, I think Jerry Brown won his grandstanding. I think he's looking at potential running for office because the field is so wide open in 2020.
Running for what? President?
President, yeah. I mean, been an aspiration of his. But he'll be, 75, 76 years old?
It doesn't even matter if he's 35. The country's not going to put him in the White House.
But he's an egotistical son of a bitch anyway. That's what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously, you think this is just a zero-sum game and they're just playing with each other, I guess. I just don't see how they win. I don't see where California, I just don't get it. Why they go through all this, and how these mayors, like Mayor Libby Schiaff, how she comes off saying these kinds of things, and then expecting that there's going to be no repercussions from this, Jim. It simply doesn't add up. You know, I mean, it's hard to fathom where this really goes. I don't see how long. What more do you know about it? How long does this take? Because, again, these are fighting words now. I mean, lines have been drawn in the sand here. And when the governor comes out and says, hey, look, we know the Trump administration is full of liars. I mean, it's not exactly a pleasant thing a governor says about the commander in chief, you know?
Well, I think the big thing that's going to happen with California is it's going to go right to the Supreme Court, because that's where this was settled before. And the precedent in law was already set there. And whether it's the local judge comes out with a sustaining order against California to cease and desist on all three of these laws that they have in place. And if it's not that, then they will appeal it directly to the Supreme Court, who will do the same thing. He will vacate these three laws in California, saying that the same law that was set the precedent from Arizona will nullify the sanctuary cities. And yeah, that will set precedent for across the country, because it's there.
That's the key right there, the precedent across the country. Yeah, that's exactly going to be key, Jim, to all of this. I don't know. I think this is embarrassing. In fact, those are words that I think Sessions even used. He said this is... he said it was embarrassing. Of course it's embarrassing. Embarrassing for the state of, to the proud state of California. He said, I'm afraid this is an embarrassment to the proud state of California. Yeah. And it really is. And of course, it's creating a problem. Not like you say, everybody's watching this around the nation, but they're also watching this around the world.
Yeah. Jim. You know, and I know that Jerry Brown has Eric Holder in with his holster and law books there. But the only problem is, this is the same thing that Holder adjudicated when he was AG. So,
right. See, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. I was thinking of that earlier.
It's a wraparound on it, and it is a beautiful way to put it. Well, and even if the laws are crafted very specifically, right. They still, in all their contexts, supersede federal law.
Well, listen, I predict they're going to give them a hard time. I mean, listen, just mentioned Eric Holder and working out in California. Yeah, but you can see there's going to be a lot of backroom conversation here with the previous Obama administration, with a lot of the players out there, including Holder. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be going tit for tat and telling the Jerry Brown and company and all these mayors and all the politicians out there who want to stir the pot. They're going to help them along. They're going to give them a lot of advice. They're going to tell them how to play dodgeball and how to kind of stir the pot here. And I think this thing is going to go on for an extended period of time. I don't see this resolving itself soon, do you?
Well, it's all depends how it goes through the court system. And if it goes right to the Supreme Court within the next 60 to 90 days, it'll be done, because it'll be there again on both directions. You can't have it that you're going to aid, you'll go out and arrest people on your own immigration.
And they have to know how the Supreme Court's going to rule. I mean, they have to know that in California. Yeah. So why play this game then?
It's like you say, it's all for ego and stuff. And California thrives on the immigrants in the voting for the Democratic bloc to keep that solid Democratic state. I think there's two or three people at state level that that are Republicans that actually hold office. Right. And then there's only, about seven or eight members of the House that are from California, the Republicans, and 48 or 49 that are Democrats. Right, it's crazy, and they just want to keep it that way.
Well, what I'm most curious in to see is when the residents of California say enough is enough, when they finally stand up and say, you know what, I mean, I wonder if this could be a tipping point and have a backlash against Jerry Brown and company. And I'm not so convinced that that couldn't happen, Jim, because I talk to a lot of people out in California that, and a lot of Democrats out there, they're not happy. They're not happy with a lot of this unlawfulness and a lot of the stuff that's going on. They're not happy with the way they're handling the illegal immigration problem out there. They're not happy with the quality of life. They're not happy with the homelessness, the filth, the disgust on the city streets there. I mean, they're not happy. And so at some point, there has to be a backlash where, and I just wonder if that door is going to swing the other way and hit them right in the backside. And then, you know, really, though, I mean, I wonder if that's kind of what I see happening. I think there's a tipping point here, Jim, is all I'm saying. There's a tipping point, you know?
Absolutely. There has to be. I mean, I saw a statistic where about 150,000 people a month are leaving California.
Exactly.
And that's about equal to the immigrants
I know a
coming
lot of
in.
people who've left,
Legals.
yeah. And so what you're creating is here, you're creating what they want, really, a sanctuary state, a state of chaos, a state of lawlessness, a state of confusion, not a quality of life at all. And I see the quality people of California, at some point they've got to stand up and say, you know, this is rubbish. This is not, we're not going to pay these high taxes and do all this stuff when, you know, we got to deal with all this. I mean, you can't walk down a city street in San Francisco or Los Angeles without tripping all over, you know, between the people and the feces and the tents and the problems, and they're everywhere. And they're on highway exit ramps. They're on the sides of the roads. They're on sidewalks. They're in parks. Any kind of a park out there, I mean, it's not a park. It's become a home with tents that they're sleeping in, Jim. I mean, what kind of a program is that?
It's unbelievable the amount of money they spend on those programs. You know, they're going to rejuvenate the street people. And the only thing they can't do is they can't give them jobs, because there aren't any jobs for these people. You look at San Francisco, it's all the people in San Francisco that are working are all in high tech. And, you know, six-figure incomes, paying $6,000 a month rent.
I don't get it.
And the rest of the people are the shop owners are getting pushed out because the buildings getting more and more expensive to operate because the rents are going up like crazy in that town. And it all has to come to an end.
Well, I've seen some images the other day that were very startling. I knew I had seen a few, you know, interesting ones, but what I'm starting to see now, I mean, this, I don't see how the people are putting up with it. At some point, that overflow is going to get people's attention, and I think there's going to be, good people out there are not going to put up with this, so clearly something's going to happen. We'll see where all of this goes, but I find this really rich. And again, listen, everyone's been talking about Sessions, do nothing, Attorney General. Maybe this is his wake-up call that it got everybody engaged instead of doing nothing. And as you say, I find it very interesting that he gone back and he grabbed some of the Obama doctrine to use against the current plight, you know, of the politicians out there. I find very interesting and kind of crafty by Sessions. But listen, let's change beats here and talk about this the tariff thing a little bit. I want to just circle back around for that a moment here, because this caught a lot of people by surprise. The economic advisor Gary Cohen, a lot of people did not see this one coming. It shocked the newswire immediately when it started rumbling yesterday that he was going to just resign. So evidently there was a lot of talk. I mean, he doesn't look like he's upset if you see him in imagery and you see the camera moving and with him and the president, but there had to be a lot of backroom conversation on this one, Jim. And they had to not been happy because he had expressed his feelings about this tariff program and really felt it was the wrong road forward. And a lot of people are not happy. People seem to be split on whether this tariff thing, but listen, the whole tariff thing is probably just, again, another move in a chess game that Trump is putting out there. I don't think anybody thought he was going to put 25% or 10% on the aluminum and steel, you know what I mean? I don't think they really thought that, but...
Right? I agree with you completely. I think, you know, they've underestimated Trump in Korea. Yeah. They've underestimated him during the campaign. And now this move, I mean, this puts people on notice that he's serious about negotiation.
Exactly.
And if you're not serious about negotiation, you're not serious about fair trade, I'm going to slap you with a tariff, and I can do it. Nobody can stop
me. I assume none of these people have read his books. Is that correct statement, Jim?
I assume some of these people can't read that are on the air making all this noise about it. I mean, it's you know, it's so much about nothing right now because he hasn't done anything.
Right.
I mean, he's put this statement out there. It's a trial balloon. It's
exactly.
a warning.
That's a good way to put
it. It's a shot across the bow of China and all these other guys say, if you're not going to play fair, the next one's going to hit you on the bridge of the ship.
All right, so
and
everybody should hear what you're saying right now, Jim. Everybody should hear what Jim McKay just said, and because what you just said is really Trump's secret recipe. What he does is he throws all these trial balloons out, and he just does it to get a rise out of people, to see what the temperature is. You know, what's the weather like out there, you know, at 10,000, 20,000 feet? What are people thinking? Let's see if we can't get a rise out. Then he goes to Twitter, throws a few, you know, Twitter shitstorms out there, Jim, you know. Let's see what's happening there. And then, and this is all before breakfast, by the way. You know, Yeah, this is early in the morning. So, you know, it is ironic in how, but, you know, I don't think they can really handle it because nobody has ever seen a president operate this way, Jim. They've never seen it. Yeah. So this
yeah, absolutely.
Stretch.
I mean, the guy is a wheeler dealer. And he makes everybody look silly.
He's a Vegas showman. He's a Vegas showman. That's what he is. Yeah. He's up there with the Vegas showman. It's all a program, and he puts it out there. But he's always after the best possible. I do believe this, though, Jim. I do believe he is always after the best possible deal, I think, for the American people. I've seen nothing to tell me otherwise from that statement. And that's just not a... I'm not trying to be funny here and say, you know, I support everything or this or that, but I think everything he does, from what I've gathered, he seems to have the worker. That was that whole nationalist conversation and nationalist movement. How dare he? You know, because that was right in the face against the globalist, Jim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there was this whole nationalist that he's out for the American worker. How dare he? You know, he wants to do what? Tax reform? And he wants to give back? How dare he do that, you know?
Yeah.
So he's kind of a weird billionaire, you know? He's kind of a weirdo in the circles of the rich and wealthy, huh? You know?
You got to look at where he came from. His very modest beginnings. I mean, the guy worked shoulder to shoulder with a lot of these guys on a lot of these projects when he was a young man.
He used to go to the construction sites, Jim. He used to go right out there. And I've seen those pictures and seen him do that. He's kind of a hands-on guy.
And where he grew up on, the streets of Queens, New York? Not the Park Avenue kind of background for this guy when he was a kid. And also, even though his father had a good business and he did okay early on, he wasn't living in Trump Tower for a lot of years. I mean, he was just very modest lifestyle early on.
Right.
So he's a fighter, and he knows how to fight. He knows how to pick his fights, and he knows how to win.
It's hard to fathom sometimes some of these fights, like where he's coming from. They come out of left field somewhere, and you wonder why he's doing that. But seems to be he always ties it back to a bigger picture, doesn't he? The guy is something else again.
Exactly. I mean, when he asks a question of Putin at that in the Far East summit they had, and he said, "Tell me the truth about did you guys meddle in the election and stuff?" Mm-hmm. And Putin lied to his face right then and there because he knew the answer. He knew exactly the answer to the question. And when you do that, you're feeling out the guy.
Exactly.
And you know that anything, you cannot no longer trust Putin. And he wanted to get that, you know, firsthand, face-to-face between two world leaders. And when you can't get the guy to give you a straight answer on a topic like that, you know, it's like, okay, the game's over.
It's all about body language, Jim. It's funny you say that. When you watch the body language between a President Trump and a President Putin, and you watch that, it's a far different body language than it was with a President Obama and a President Putin. I mean, far different body language, you know?
Yeah.
You can tell a lot from the body language. You can see in those meetings when they're in two chairs and, you know, and you can see how they interact with each other and what's going on. And Trump was, he was not going to have any of that.
Trump has his numbers. I think Trump is a much smarter guy than 535 members of Congress. Give him credit.
and 17 candidates running for president of the elite Republican Party.
Exactly.
And a whole host of other people.
Yeah,
he's something else. He's something different. They don't know what to. He's like that little surprise in the Cracker Jack box. You just don't know what you're going to get, but you know there's a little prize in there, Jim. You know
exactly.
And that's what Trump delivers on a daily basis to the political crowd. They don't know what to do with him. Very clearly. So, anyways, this trial balloon of the tariffs. I don't see them doing the 25% and the 10%. I think this was all the smoke and mirrors. As you say, the trial balloon, it really was just let's throw it out there, see what's going on. But it was how he drew some lines in the sand to get everybody roughed up. But the sad part about this is my point of this is the casualties list of losing economic advisor Gary Cohn seems to be, you know, he was working pretty well with Trump. In fact, he was majorly a big piece of the tax reform program. They loved working with him in Congress. You know, he was central to that. So was it a good trade-off, I'm asking you? Was it a good, you know, was this whole thing worth it to lose Gary Cohn in there? Or is this an opportunity to maybe get somebody even better? Is that possible?
I think that Cohen was ready to leave anyway. A lot of noises coming out of Washington about that, that he's done his time. He wants to get back to the business world, back to where he was. You know, I mean, he was a very powerful guy, you know, on Wall Street. So
yeah, that's what I understand as well.
I mean, when you're, he was probably, you know, making five times as much money on Wall Street that he's making, you know, as a economic advisor.
Right. That's exactly what I'm gathering. So I think this was kind of his exit strategy right now. There is talk, though, however, at some point they may bring him back for a cabinet position, a cabinet level position. That could be interesting. We'll see. You know, maybe.
Yeah, Secretary of the Treasury, something
the Secretary
like that.
Of Treasury could be, because there was
a lot of prestige.
Right.
In that role.
And that may be what they're looking for with him. Maybe that's the game plan of that. I don't really know. But again, the tariff thing, not everybody get excited in the room. It'll calm down and we'll figure it out and what's going on here. So in any event, this other story here that is trending this afternoon is clearly the Betsy DeVos, the education.
Yes.
So that is trending all over social media today, that the kids at Stoneman Douglas High School got in her face, and it was not a pretty sight. She seems to bring out the worst in people, not the best in people. It's not the first time she's been talked down off a stage somewhere, Jim. She seems to pull out the worst in all of that. Listen, we'll pick that up on the other side here. More Nozzle in a minute, friends.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
I think that when you take in a 17 counts of premeditated murder, you're opening up an opportunity for a defense attorney to try the case from that's over. What would you say? Overstating the case in sense of 70 premeditated murder. Did he go into each of these kids and specifically pick out the 17 kids that he was going to shoot? No, he was shooting wildly all across the spectrum. So premeditation says that you have to relate that
each one of those bodies would have to be premeditated. You mean like he singled them out?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think that's an opportunity for the defense. To go in and
interesting.
Defend. Because I had been involved in a case not quite as simple. It was a beating to death case some years ago. And they wanted to try it both as hate crimes as murder one. And when we went to the
was that back to the days when you were part of the mob?
Yeah,
I think they beat the hell out of you, almost done.
And exactly, yes. And it came down to that we could not go in and classify it as a hate crime, because if you murder somebody, what's more hateful than murdering it? And then we came down to murder one, and murder one has the premeditation in it. And this was more of a crime of passion, spontaneity. So we wound up as a hung jury and couldn't find
it. So you think this is the wrong charge?
I think it's you're overcharging, you know?
I see. It'll never be right. Those families will never be right. That's sad. I just hope this Parkland case can be used to fix the problem, Jim. We've talked about this a lot in America Out Loud, and I just hope and pray that we can fix the problem. Maybe it's time again to get back to doing what they do in Israel. They had a problem back many years ago in Israel. They killed a lot of people, and the death they had, and that now they have armed guards at all their schools, and you got to protect your kids. It's not a matter of, well, is that what we want? It's not a matter of what we want. It's a matter of what we have to have.
You know, and those guards have to be serious people, right? Not the mall cop.
Right. That's a great point.
Well, they have a whistle great and a point. Can of pepper spray.
Yeah, no. Valid point.
If you remember back to 9/11, and right after 9/11, when you didn't have a TSA or anything mm-hmm. of any structure, they put National Guard or regular army at all the airports. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Nobody was even going to try to hijack an airplane or do anything, because you had these guys with their full combat attire on, you know, not a big heavy backpack, carrying an M16 and looking real serious at everybody.
Right.
And they do the same thing in Singapore. The elite paratroops patrol the airport.
It's what's going to have to happen here in the United States. It's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to protect the schools. These soft targets are not, it's not going to change. This narrative is written. This chapter is out there, and the copycats are already planning their next mass event. And
But you can't make it a TSA kind of function, which is what I'm afraid they're looking at doing.
Well, like they do with everything, more government. I know.
More government. It'll be a bureaucracy.
Well, that's what they do. They throw government at it. That's what everybody wants. They somehow think that, you know, and the government has done such a piss poor job with the airports. You're right. Mm-hmm. They've done a horrible job with that situation over there. Listen, I want to talk to you this afternoon about a couple other things here. And one of these other things that's trending here this afternoon in the last couple of days here, this story's getting pretty hot today here, is this, this is the biggest salacious story as we could possibly deliver to you this afternoon. There's been rumblings of
one more big story.
This is the porn star Stormy Davis is her official name. She's got another real name out there. So she is suing President Trump, claiming that he never signed a hush agreement, that he personally never signed it, about this alleged affair between the two, which went on for, I guess, a little period of time. It was more than just one encounter, evidently. Now, the lawyer for the porn star, she says that she definitely had sex with President Trump, obviously more than once, and is prepared to return the hush money. Now, this hush money is $130,000. And Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen, he has absolutely admitted facilitating a $130,000 payment. So you can pretty well say the president has been sleeping with the porn star then. Prior to him being a president now, he wasn't a president then, in all fairness here. Yeah. He was just Citizen Trump. And I guess if that's what you want to do when you got a lot of money and you're burning $1 million bills with your cigar at night when you sit there and you want to call the porn stars in to dance for you, I guess you can do that stuff, I guess.
Yeah. I guess it's on the same level as you can call in interns or movie stars.
But this doesn't, but this whole porn stuff, that doesn't make it right. I mean, what's interesting about Trump is he has been dancing with the evangelical crowd from the beginning. I wonder how they feel about, I'd like to interview some of these evangelical folks who have been so high on Trump, but I wonder how they feel about this. Now, maybe Trump has repented this. Will he admit it? I mean, he hasn't said anything about this yet.
Yeah.
He's obviously upset. He's got to be embarrassed by this. Now, obviously, there's a lot of talk about him and his wife, Melania, that they're not talking, not holding hands, and not being a couple.
Well,
is there truth to it, Jim?
Maybe she's a little pissed on this news coming out.
You think?
Out, you know, and
I mean, you think?
I'd be.
I mean, if you're having sex with porn stars, God knows what diseases she has, and then you're coming to bed with, me being her. I mean, I got a little problem with that, you know?
Well, you know, to me, it's before he was a president, he was a private citizen.
Sure.
I mean, just like this guy Porter, the guy in the White House that bopped his wife in the eye in Italy on vacation. That was years ago. He's a
but
private
citizen. But it's the cover-up.
Jim,
it's not even the crime. It's the cover-up that everybody does. It's always the cover-up, Jim.
Yeah.
It's not. So let me ask you this honestly now. What I want to speculate with you on is this. Is it in the president's best interest to call a press conference and say, listen, friends, It's the president here, but he's calls a press conference. I say, listen, I need to talk to you today about my personal business back before I was president. Yeah, I did some stupid things. One of them was I slept with a porn star. I shouldn't have. I did. He said, I'm embarrassed by it. I apologize. It's not exactly the life I want to live. I apologize to my kids and my wife and fans and friendly. It shouldn't have happened. But it happened, and you know there was some dollars paid, and I just want you to realize that this is, you know, so what should he do that, or should he continue to, you know, run, hide, and duck, because the media is going to bring this up now every chance they can.
Putting it the way you just did, if he can be humble like that in front of the cameras, in front of a news conference, lay it all out there. You got to look at the issue. Do you take questions or not? Do you just make a speech of it, lay it all out. No.
Then you have Melania come out and you apologize to Melania, you give Melania whatever she wants. The most expensive car on the planet with a big bow on it. Give her like a diamond sachet. Give her like, I mean, it's not about money. I know it's not about money. No, give her your love and your trust and your faith somehow, and don't be such a pecker.
Exactly. Do that. Just lay it all out. But will that be enough? I mean, will somebody else come up?
Of course they will.
2 months from now.
Of course they will.
You know, get a list of all your ex-girlfriends
and put them all out there at once. Say, that's it. That's the press conference. And I'll help the prez with this. I'll help him hold the press conference. I'm up for this challenge, Jim. I can do this. I'll help him with it, for real. I'll help him write the speech.
Invite them all up on stage.
Absolutely. Say, listen, I confess I was a bad boy. I was a bad boy. But, you know, I'm not the only one. This is what a lot of guys have done, sadly. Jim, what I want to understand is this. Talk to me in a minute. Now, I want to get to this other story here, so I don't want to hop on this, but I want your honest opinion. From a guy's perspective, I want to talk to you man-to-man here a minute, okay? All right? And I want to ask you, first of all, have you ever paid a porn star, first of all? Have you been with a porn star?
No.
Would you put your right hand up and say that to me, please?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right. So what I want to ask you...
I had one girlfriend at a time, though, that I was sleeping with. That was a little tricky.
It wasn't one girlfriend at a time? You did more than one?
I had one on campus and one out of town.
Confessions from McKay. That's another show. I like it. All right, so listen, Jim. Here's what I'm asking you. We got to do a whole show.
Same weekend, that's trouble.
It looks like we're going to have to get your name out there, too, now, McKay. I mean, come on,
It's all my secrets are out.
All water under the dam, Malcolm. Move it on. All right, listen, I got to tell you what. What I want to understand is this. Even if you have a lot of money, and obviously Trump did, and you could sleep with whoever you want to sleep with, and clearly he could, and you had relationships or what have you. Obviously, he was married to Melania. I mean, she's about as, I mean, looks like a magnificent lady. If that doesn't turn you on and attract you, I don't know what does. But okay, I get it. But so you want to be a little salacious here. You want to be a little bad boy, but. Why would any reasonable man, why do men out there hire, first of all, porn stars? Why do they go to bed with them? Why do they, what I'm asking you is this, Jim McKay. Talk to me man to man. Why would a man want to put his male parts in something that has been used so often by so many people on the planet, because this is what they do for a living to make money? Why would somebody, where's the intellect in that? I that confuses me almost as much as the politicians in California.
Absolutely. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, is it because they're insecure? I mean, they have everything in the world. Exactly. And the only thing I can think is they have some level of insecurity about their own sexuality, about their manhood, that they're trying to fulfill it some way.
Thank you.
And this is the only way they can do it. I mean, I'm an avid golfer, and you look at Tiger Woods, what he did to himself.
Oh my.
And to his family.
Remember that?
It's unbelievable.
Remember that story? That story was so over the top. Oh my God. He lied to cover up and everything. He was, you know, I didn't have sex with that woman. You know, Bill Clinton. They've all done it, you know? I didn't have sex. I assure you, America.
It has to be some kind. I can honestly say that I've been married, okay, and twice.
Right.
And during that period of time, I have never, ever fooled around sexually with another woman. I mean, flirt, yes. You know, you're at parties and you're talking and you're having a good time. And you're flirting and stuff. And,
yeah, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Well, you know, that's just right. Being people.
Obviously, this is not a show we're doing about relationships. And I could have a lot to say about all of this. No, I could. I could say a lot about all of this. Yeah. But I'm just making the point. Why a porn star? I mean, this I do not understand, you know.
Well, you talk about looking at an adventure you've never had before.
I guess it's another Mount Everest for him. Okay, I get it. I guess. I don't know. But it rattles my brain. I don't really understand how they find that a victory. I don't get it. It is a little beyond me. I could say to you honestly, Jim McKay, it is not something that Mr. No. Out Loud would entertain. I would not be sleeping with a porn star.
Maybe they're looking at it from a learning experience.
You know, I don't know, but I don't get it. So anyways, I'm just wondering if the man, because this story is not going to go away. It's going to build now. You're talking about, because they've already admitted they paid $130,000 big ones to this lady. Now, you don't give $130,000 to somebody, friends, just because, you know, it's a Wednesday afternoon. Absolutely. And, you know, you like them. I mean, this doesn't happen. $130,000 big ones come your way when they want to shut you up. Now, they've all admitted this money happened. So clearly that's an admit of guilt, clearly. And Michael Cohen, who represented, and Trump denies whatever. So nothing's being said about this right now, but something more is going to have to be said about it. Well, listen, I want to move this conversation along because we're this starting to sound like Days of Our Lives here, or soap operas from the, you know, it's hard to, the news and the sex, the lines blur, Jim, really quick here. I got to tell you about this other really fascinating story here, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says that Donald Trump could be the greatest president in history. What do you think of that? Now, I wonder if he said that before Stormy Davis or after. I don't know. I can't really say. Does that qualify or go on your, you know, I don't know. So this, again, we're speaking of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is the son of the late Robert Francis Kennedy. We all know who that is. Probably made one of, well, Shonkin, this was an interview with CNN, and they about all fell on the floor. And he said Donald Trump could be the greatest president in history if he wanted to. He could easily be the next Teddy Roosevelt.
That's a long shot. I mean, you know, I think he will get through this whole mess that we have going on with the special prosecutor and all this other nonsense.
The porn star, the special K.
Get a few more victories this year under his belt. And I think he's going to come out with a new NAFTA trade agreement before the elections. He's going to come out with
a whole lot of stuff.
If the tariffs are going to be put in place, they're going to be very targeted. You know, because the same people that are yelling, don't put the tariff, are also saying, go after China. Yeah. It's you know, the same thing. China's the big problem. And that they're still getting away.
All right.
Where Wall Street really has a bug up their butt about China is in the currency manipulation, because that's what Wall Street does. Wall Street's big on currency manipulation. International trade is all about currency.
None of this is a secret. Trump ran on this. It was all over his campaign. I mean, get over it. If you don't think we're not. And the thing about Trump, I will say this to you, Jim, he handles everything that's hot. He doesn't run away. He's not a normal politician. Somebody said to me just yesterday or so, said, hey, why does this man do what he said he was going to do during the campaign? I mean, because that just doesn't make a lot of sense, because politicians don't do that. They don't execute on what they promise. This is a very odd fellow, clearly. We'll see where that goes. Listen, we were talking about special this, special that, special the other. I also want to mention Special K. Today is National Cereal Day. National Cereal Day. We cannot forget that. So I don't know if you had your Special K this morning, along with all this specialness being thrown around.
No, but I had my Honey Nut Cheerios.
All right, listen, we need you. That's exactly it. Let's get to predictions here. Give me your big prediction for the day, please. What is it, Jim McKay?
Okay, big prediction for the day. Stock market will start to move up again strong. It was off today again, about 80 points, but it was off several hundred at the opening. Okay. I think they're getting over this tariff noise. And again, so many of these reactions on the stock markets are just hyperbole of buying and selling the Dow.
So your prediction is it gets better? It turns
around? I think the market's going to turn and get better, and we'll see it at a 26,000.
So you're not following Harry Dent's advice, then, I take it,
no,
right?
No. Harry and I have very different opinions.
very different opinions about the economics.
Economist.
I know. He is an economic forecaster, but he doesn't say quite that's the way it's going to be.
No.
So that's your prediction. You got it on record here.
He hedges his bets, though.
Well, that's what you do when you're a best-selling author sometimes, brother, and you have to sell more books. You have to hedge the bets and back off of just a smidgen here. Well, listen, my predictions are that I got two of them here, as always, friends, for you. And the first prediction is that Trump will need to have this press conference I told you about just a bit ago here. And this is going to be a moment of humility here. It's going to be a moment where the president's going to have to say, listen, because, again, the first lady's she's going to need something more here. It looks like that relationship could need some uplifting here. Potentially, maybe Donald Trump should go to church this Sunday as well and confess his sins. Well, listen, my other prediction is, friends, we will be back here tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And in the meantime, we'll see how many more scandals and trouble we can get into. Nozzle off.